So in this week's weekly email that I sent out, I asked for everybody that gets it to think of a time and a space where you see God's power breaking through, where you see an act of compassion being done on the behalf of somebody else. And so in our scriptures this morning, it's gonna reiterate that theme, as is the message. And so I want you to be listening first in the Psalm for just what God's compassion is. And then I want you to listen for how that intermixes with the message that Jesus gives, with the actions that Jesus takes. So I invite all of God's children to come on down for the children's time. Oh, first the scripture. I get a little overzealous when Sharon's gone. I'm sorry.
The first scripture reading is Psalm 145. It's in the Old Testament in your pew Bibles, page 581, and on the screen. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. The might of your awesome deeds shall be proclaimed, and I will declare your greatness. They shall celebrate the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing. The Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his doings. The Lord is near to all who call on him, and to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of all who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. The word of God for the people of God.
And now, here are these words from the Gospel of Luke. Soon afterwards, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. And with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her, and he said to her, "Do not weep." And then he came forward and touched the funeral bier, and the bearer stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them. And they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." This word about him spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If you could please join me in prayer. Amazing God, if you can use this time, this space, these words, through the power of your Holy Spirit to draw us nearer to you. Amen.
So I'm curious how many people here have ever watched a video on either YouTube or Facebook that involves some sort of sick or hurt animal that's in distress. Yes, a fair amount. If you haven't, don't be distressed, but it's essentially the internet version of a good human interest story on the local news. And I think you know the kind of story I'm talking about. You see the story, and then at the end of it, you know that despite all of the kind of bad stuff that's going on in the news, all of the bad things that are going on in the world, that there's still some good in some spaces. And I have to tell you that I probably watch way more of these videos than I like to admit, because I'm a really big fan of animals. And they can almost wind up being addicting. In fact, I even have one favorite source. It's this little place, they call it the Dodo. And I'm not sure why they picked it that, but they post video after video after video, largely of animals that are in need, that need help. And then they follow on these videos. They show you where the animal was and the dire straits that they were in, and they follow them, and they give you a follow-up for just how wonderful the life is that the animal is living now. And I think it's pretty safe to say, like, these kinds of videos, they really tug at the heart. You know, you see an animal that's not doing well, and you see someone act in such a way that brings compassion to that animal, and it leads them to a better space in their life, and the animal recovers and all is well. Because who doesn't like to see the happy face of an animal knowing the troubles that the animal has gone through? I think that's a pretty universal safe bet. But I have to be really careful when I'm watching these videos, because one of them, they're usually about 2 to 3 minutes apiece, can lead to 2, and then 3, and then 4, and before you know it, you've wasted about a half hour, and you have nothing to show for your time or your energy. And they're sweet little videos, but that's not actually always a good thing. And they're sweet, but they speak to us for a reason. And they speak to us, I think, because people are hardwired to respond to distress when we see it in the world. And when we view videos where we get to see some of that distress, and then we get to see that distress go away, deep down we get a little feeling that makes us feel pretty good. We like to see the positive outcomes that can come from negative situations. But I think we also all know that throughout life, not every situation turns out well the way it would in a human interest story. And that sometimes there's more in a situation than can ever be overcome by normal means. And this is the reality that most of us live in the vast majority of the time. That we live in a world where sometimes we're not able to overcome everything that we would like to if we don't have God in our lives. And the trials of our lives, they wind up piling up. And they can overrun us with their negatives that we bring on ourselves and the negatives that the world sometimes sling at us. And this does not change, typically. But we still desire to watch sometimes, I think, situations like that. We still want to see what will happen. And as we watch what's happening, I think sometimes we get a little schadenfreude that maybe we feel a little bit better when the bad things that are happening are not happening to us. And it's in this type of situation that the gospel lesson from this morning really takes root, really shows up. You see, in this little town called Nain, it's about 14 or so kilometers, or so saith Wikipedia, south of Nazareth, that there's this woman who has already lost her husband, so she's already a widow. And then the situation gets harder. More complications comes into things because her son also passes. So two of the most important people in her life have died. And beyond just the pain of dealing with the loss of people that you care about, she's also facing another very hard reality for her time. Because most women at this time were dependent upon the men in their families for their very economic survival, and very few had the ability to live a life that was not dependent on the health and vitality of those close family members. And so this woman, she's facing grief and fear on a number of levels. And the people that are around her have heard that this has happened, and they want to see this for themselves. So some are helping to get the body out of the woman's house, and there are other people who are there who are watching this situation unfold. And for whatever reason, they want to be there. They want to see what is happening. And it just so happens that at this moment, Jesus approaches the town with a large entourage already in hand, and he sees this woman, and he sees her pain, and he sees her fear, and he says, "Do not cry." He sees what is going on in her life and the pain that she is in, and he is touched down to his core. The Word made flesh is moved by the pain of another human being, and he steps in an act of compassion towards this woman. He sees this situation of need, and he can tell that there is help that is needed, and guess what? He helps. He walks over to the stretcher where the body of the young man is lying, and he says, "Young man, get up." And just like that, the young man comes back to life. He sits up and he starts to speak, and the family is reunited in a way that I doubt anybody around them thought was going to happen. And the crowd that is gathered around them is, I can imagine, in complete and total shock. Did they really just witness this man named Jesus bring somebody back to life? How can this be? How can someone bring somebody back from the dead? And so the fear and awe of the Lord overcome them, and they praise God for this amazing moment that Jesus brought before them. And the witnesses to this event, from this moment forward, start spreading this news all over the region where they live, telling people about this amazing prophet of the Lord, because that's what they're calling him right now. And they're speaking about this prophet who, in a moment of compassion for a grieving widow and a grieving mother, brought her son back from the dead. Now, we are not told what happens to this woman and her son after this story. We never hear from them again in the gospel record, at least not that we know of. But I'm sure that they spoke of this moment, of this amazing deed, for the rest of their lives. And I would suspect that the family also spoke about this moment for generations to come, especially if they were, say, the descendants of the young man. They would exist. Their lives would exist because Jesus brought one of their ancestors back to life. And yes, we all receive new life in Christ, but this family and all of their descendants, whomever they may be, that live on to this very day, exist because Jesus took a moment to show care for one grieving person. Now, can you imagine what Jesus was witnessing at this moment? Witnessing this mother? Seeing her broken heart? Seeing her future in peril? And just like that, things changed again for the better. Just like that, because of the power of God, her life and her son's life were saved. Christ saw this woman's pain and acted in compassion to make her life better. Because this is who Christ is. And it's who Christ was in his earthly life, and it's who Christ is in the world today. Christ is someone who has always acted in the lives of those who were around him with grace and mercy to show the love of God and to guide people on better paths in living. This is the very nature of who Christ is, and is the very nature, I would say, of what compassion is as well. To act in ways that are compassionate in their nature is to act on ways and act in ways that are the very nature of who Christ is. And we know that this is not the only story in the Bible where Jesus does something that's compassionate. Think of all the stories of Jesus where he heals somebody from some sort of disease or ailment. Of all the stories where Jesus pulls people out of dangerous situations that they find themselves in because of the bad choices they've made in their lives. Of all the infinite, infinite patience that Jesus shows the disciples who struggle to learn the lessons that he has to teach them. The Gospels show us over and over and over again that Jesus was a person who had an infinite love for humankind. And thank God for this, because humankind needs that infinite love in order to function and in order to return to a right relationship with God. The Gospel of John even tells us that there are more stories of Jesus acting in compassionate ways than are written down, and that we have these ones because they were written down so that we might have faith in Christ and faith in God. So we know that these weren't just simple little things that were written down. These were events that were happening consistently throughout Jesus' life, throughout Jesus' ministry. And I think that this is something that we can know today. This is something that we can experience. It's very clear that the compassion of Christ did not end when he rose to heaven. Christ has been working in the hearts of Christians and his followers for more than 2,000 years. And I know that in my life, I can think of multiple places where my life has met the compassion of Christ, and that it is that compassion that has brought me through difficult times and places. And I can speak to this same truth that this allows me to speak to the same truth that these people who saw this young man come back to life, to speak in the same way. Now, how Christ changed my life is very different than how Christ worked in the life of that young man. But it doesn't change the fact that this exact same compassion has worked and is working in both places. And after spending more than a year in this community, I can say with assurance that this same compassion is working in the lives of the people who make up this community. The love that Christ has for each of us changes our lives. Christ acts compassionately to each and every one of us, regardless of whether we are able to see it in our lives or not. This is the truth behind the power of God's grace. It's always there for each and every one of us. It is always present for us. It is always acting on our behalf because of God's love for us. Because God does not desire to see us suffering alone. God shares in our hurts and showers us with love so that when we are hurting, we are not by ourselves. We might not see the ways in which God is sharing with us, but it doesn't mean that the sharing is not happening. This also means that the places where we are able to see God, where we are able to point to God's glories that are happening in this world, are places that we need to be paying special attention to and lifting up. We need to be able to point out the places in our lives where Christ is at work so that we are able to take note and spread the witness of God's love to other people. This is especially true here in the church, where we call ourselves the body of Christ. As the church, it is our job to make sure that we are continuing on the ministry of Jesus in the world around us. We are to be the people through whom Christ works. We are to be the people who are doing the miracles that others need to see in their lives. The miracles that we perform, the love that we share on Christ's behalf, might not look exactly like the miracles that Christ did, but it doesn't make them any less important, and it doesn't make them any less beautiful in the eyes of God. And this task of being the body of Christ for the world is a different and difficult task because it means that we need to be constantly doing and we need to be constantly paying attention, I think, to two different things. First, we need to be tuned in with where God is calling us. We need to be listening for the Holy Spirit in our lives and responding to what the Spirit is sharing to us. And second, I think it means that we need to be attuned to our neighbors. We need to know what is going on in our world, and we need to be actively engaged in the spaces where we can see that things aren't right. We need to do this so that we can be truly compassionate, so that we can do the works of mercy and justice that God calls us to, and we can make sure that our neighbors are seeing the light and the love of God through us. And we won't always get this 100% right because of our human nature, but we always need to be striving to make sure that we are approving and we are striving to be more Christ-like in all that we are called to do. And this, my friends, is our challenge. This is the call on our lives. To make sure that we are always striving to be more. That we witness to the ministry of Christ that Christ calls us to follow. That through the lives of those that we care about and the lives of those we do not know, that we are helping people to stand up. That we are speaking those words to someone who otherwise won't hear it. We have an imperative placed upon our hearts because of the grace of God working in our lives to pass forward this compassion that God first shared with us. And this task can be an overwhelming, consuming task that will steer and can steer our lives to new places that we never thought possible. To follow the example of Christ in the world will lead us down a path full of trials and tribulations, but it will also lead us down a path that is overflowing with compassion. It is a path that will give us so much more reward than any number of those little videos ever possibly could. So hear the good news, my friends. Christ loves us. Each and every one of us. And because of this, Christ treats us with compassion that we do not deserve. Christ bestows upon us the gifts of God's grace so that we might live changed lives dedicated to being channels of God's grace for our neighbors and to all of creation. And our charge, our response, is to listen to the Holy Spirit, discern where it is leading us, and follow so that we can help bring about God's kingdom here on earth. Amen.